The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right. Hello, party people. Welcome to Laughter Permitted. I'm Julie Foudy.
I'm Lynn Ozawi. And before we dive into the episode, a little backstory on it. Julie and I basically emailed each other at the same time saying we needed to have this guest on the podcast.
And I am so glad we did, because this is a great conversation.
And I think we finally met someone who loves winning as much as you do. And I'm saying that we've had a lot of people on the podcast who love winning, but I think you and our guest might be right on the same level.
Our guest this week is Aaron Mattson, the head coach of UNC's field hockey team. And I put out the back call to our friend and former guest on the pod, Jenny Levy, who's the head coach of UNC's lacrosse team. And we got the hookup. We spoke with Aaron fresh off of winning her first national championship as a head coach. And mind you, this is Aaron's first season as a head coach. And she is only 23 years old. Yes, Aaron played field hockey at North Carolina and won 4 national championships while she was there. She was the 3-time NCAA Field Hockey Player of the Year and is still North Carolina's all-time leading scorer. And as you'll hear in this episode, she was named head coach of the program less than 2 months after she graduated. And let's not forget, she is following in the footsteps of the legend, capital L legend, field hockey coach Karen Shelton, who guided the Tar Heels to 10 national titles in 42 seasons at the helm. And we talk about all of this with the superstar. It's a ton of fun. So get comfortable listening. It's Aaron Mattson. Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women sports.
And get this, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on Trailblazing Women. Because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com. Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives. And truly, we've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com.
Kick back, relax, and unwind. Let's have a good time finding the joy in life. We're smiling so bright, talking and laughing combined. Feeling alright, get comfortable listening. It's Laughter Permitted.
Aaron, I'm not sure if you know, but we had Jenny Levy on the podcast, yes. And remains one of my personal all-time favorite guests.
I'm not surprised. You guys know she's remarkable. So
yeah,
I know she's been absolutely phenomenal throughout this entire process. Like, she is my go-to. Great. She's brilliant. She's so smart, yeah, and just so real.
I would like Jenny to be my go-to if I can somehow figure that out.
Well, I just happy Jenny and I talked a lot about menopause, so we'll do that on this podcast as well.
I don't have experience with that. I'm sorry.
You should be at about that age, right?
Right.
Aaron, the first thing we do is we have the guests set the scene. So where you're at, what you're doing, all those great things.
Well, we have had a couple long days of individual meetings with the team. So our office is down on the first floor here. And it's beautiful, stunning. We have our own building. We're very lucky, but we've done our individual meetings upstairs in our Champions Club for some sunlight because we're not, back here in the artificial lighting all day. And we just got down from that. It was good. It's obviously the individual meetings at the end of the year are a lot easier and more fun when you're not a champion. So
I was just going to say that. I was like, I bet those end of the years are really good.
They're great. They're fun. So keep working hard, but good job, everybody. So
let's just do it again next year. Right. Good talk.
So it's been a good couple of days, long couple of days, but good. And obviously seeing everyone pop in and out because we win and then it's Thanksgiving break. So it's let's celebrate for a day. And then it's, everyone's off to head home. So it's fun to see everyone back together. But we're in we call this room the commitment room. It's stunning. Obviously the wall, behind me, there's a lot of tradition here. So I'm just hanging out here with you guys now.
Oh my gosh. That's a good scene set. Can we also talk about literally these last 8 to 9 days and what it's been like for you? That is insane.
Yeah, it's been wild around here. It's all been a whirlwind. I thought the entire season, since January 31st has been a whirlwind. And now, the last 8-9 days have been crazy, but in the best, beautiful way ever. There's never been a field hockey game like that. There's never been a fan base like we've created this season for field hockey for our sport. So just remarkable. And then, like I said, we win and the celebrations are great. We were home. So all of our family and friends were here. Alum flew back now. And then, for us as a staff, it's rush home, eat Thanksgiving dinner, and then head off to recruiting, which is also, again, a really good problem, to have in terms of, you're walking around the recruiting complex with your national champion on and what's up? We're Carolina. So, that was fun, of course, for obvious reasons. And then the girls obviously to go home and be able to celebrate with their family and just kind of finally breathe with, just what they did has been great. And then, today, this week has been busy with a lot of things.
This year has been busy for you, to your point. I am just blown away by the idea that you go and win 4 national titles as a student athlete, as a player. And then literally less than 2 months after graduating, you take over the entire program. Because I remember that moment of when you're graduating, you're like, holy shit, what am I going to do next? And I was in no position to be like, I'm going to go run this entire program where I've just played with 21 of the 28 players that are going to be on the roster. Roomed with them, partied with them, all those things that you do in college. And now you're going to actually run the program. So take me through that decision making.
Lots of learning, I will say. But I think that's one of the things that intrigued me so much about it. And you can probably relate, but I have always been so curious. I've always wanted to keep learning, keep growing. There's just something there, that you have that feeling. And for me, for a place that I care so much about, with people who I care so much about, and obviously have, like you mentioned, that deeper connection and deeper relationship with, in my dream job, something I love doing, I've always been drawn to coaching and I've always known I had a knack for it. And the stars kind of just aligned. And then another, what better mentor to learn from than the woman who has done it better than anybody in our sport ever. So
Karen Shelton.
Coach Karen Shelton. I owe everything to her, but it definitely was okay. I thought I had a good grasp on things. And my world was a little bit bigger than the average student athlete, just because I was always so curious and the relationship I had with Coach Shelton and everything. And then I was hired and it exploded. Incredible what goes into it, the budgeting, the traveling, the scheduling, the every decision you make is going to be interpreted in 28 different ways because there's 28 different people in that locker room. So it's just crazy, but it's been amazing. And we've done it as a full team. This team worked hard, the staff worked hard, great, but we learned from each other. I learned from them. They believed in us and me as a staff, so it's just been beautiful. But yes, lots of learning.
What was the origin story of you approaching someone in Carolina Athletics and saying, I want to put my hat in the ring when Coach Shelton retires?
I have a feeling they approached you.
Yeah, no, actually not.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So basically how it all went down, ever since I was a sophomore and we went back to back undefeated national champions, we were like, okay, Coach Shelton's going to retire. She's been here. She was here, you know, 42 years, has the most national champions out of any coach, and just is a legend herself. We went back to back undefeated. And then it was like, okay, one of these years, it's going to be her last year. It's coming. Like we're, you know, we could feel it, we could sense it. And then the third year, you know, it wasn't undefeated, but we did it again. And then it's like, okay, Coach is going out on a high. Like she's got to, what better storybook ending? And then she didn't, she stuck around and we lost that year. So then it was like, okay, she's definitely sticking around and she's not going out on that note. We come back and we win it. And it was never like explicitly stated that that was going to be her final season, but we just kind of knew, and I knew, she knew, like we all just knew. And before that last season, I went to, well, and I guess I always loved coaching. I always, you know, I was a player coach in a way with the team here. I would sit and watch film with them. I would talk in drills like I was that. I would go home on winter break and coach, you know, high school clinics and the club team younger. Like I just always loved it. And I knew I wanted to be involved with it. So I went to our athletic director the August before my final season. And I said, look, I know Coach is going to retire soon. I just don't want to be overlooked. I want this job.
Oh, I love it.
And he said, he looked me dead in the eyes and he said, okay. And he literally was like, I never would have expected that a 20-year, like you would have come to me and said that, yeah. But okay. He said, go win a national championship and then we'll talk. And I said, okay. So we went, the team did it. We won. We, you know, did it beautifully and in fairy tale fashion. And I went back to him and I said, all right, Bubba, we did what you said. I listened, but you know, I took care of it. Let's talk. And that's, you know, it was a long process of interviews and hiring committee, you know, involved and search and board of trustees and this and that, but we're here and we did it.
Damn. Oh my gosh. That you had the foresight before your last year to go in and be like, yo, I know this is coming. Yeah. I am right here. I want to be considered.
And just a note, you weren't just saying Bubba like, hey, dude. Bubba's the actual name of the athletic director.
Yeah. Bubba. So Bubba Cunningham is our athletic director. Yeah. So I went to his office. I had had to line it up.
And good for Carolina and Bubba for giving you that shot and then having the courage to say, okay, we're going to hire a 23-year-old without that experience, but we believe so much in her that she can get this done. Ah, slow clap for Bubba.
Go, Bubba, go.
Go, Bubba. But hey, go Aaron for saying,
yeah,
I for sure. am going to go after this.
Yeah.
Props to that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Again, I was like scratching my ass on the couch, not even thinking that way. Oh, that's really cool.
There is going to be someone listening to this who is thinking about asking for something at their job, but they might be hesitant. They might think, I don't have the experience. I don't have the qualifications. I'm not ready yet. What would you share to them when it comes to advice?
Immediately, I would say go after it. And I will back it with saying it's going to take work and time and preparation. And I think, you know, a lot of the people thought either this was just the plan that happened and yes, she went after it, but it's what people wanted. And, you know, I had to work for this. I had to prove to them that a 23-year-old it was not going to be an insane decision. So, I guess two parts, like whatever you want and whatever your heart is set on and wherever your heart's telling you where to be, listen to it, but back it with your preparation and the time you put in to make sure it gets done. And, you know, that passion is there for a reason, but it's not going to just magically appear. Mm. But then once you have confidence in that, yeah, like go after it. Don't hesitate. Yeah. I think, you know, it's something we try to instill in our girls here every single day is that self-belief in females and female athletes in particular and how to cultivate that and just nurture it. But you know, it starts with somehow just looking in yourself and being like, I can do this. I know I can do this. Now I'm just going to go prove to others that I can.
Right. And it's so good that point exactly, because we often as women, I feel like, want to check every box, and we'll make up an excuse like, oh, I'm not ready, or I just need more time, or I need a little bit of experience first, or we have a lot of excuses for why we shouldn't have this bold moment to raise our hand. And I love that. That's such a good example. Really good. You at one point in an interview after you won said that this year's team wasn't about the hockey at all, which I loved. So can you explain that? What did you mean by that?
You know, I think this year's team, and I think Carolina in general, you know, we are known to play a good game of hockey. We're not known to just go out and run faster and harder and everything and just come out with a win and, you know, be scrappy. Like, that is not our identity. It's not who we want to, the kind of team we want to create year in and year out. We want to be smart. We want to be very fundamentally sound and technically sound and, you know, play a very passing European style of play that's exciting. But I think these past years, it's been, that's the focus, that's the case, and that attitude and energy coupled with it is what's allowed us to have success for so long and sustainably so. And I think this season, you know, there was no doubt that these guys played a great game of hockey. There is no doubt that their skills were top tier and were better than every, if not most, team in the country at all. But for us, it took some time to find that like animal in us and as part of our identity, and just the like dog that you're going to do what it takes. Yes, with your skill and with your, you know, technique and everything, but like, I'm doing what it takes to deny this girl the ball. I'm doing what it takes to get this ball in the back of the net. Yeah. Like, it just that mentality and killer mindset, if you will. So, you know, we really worked on that this season and never took our foot off the gas with the fundamentals and the skill and everything. But once this team felt and created that intensity and that fire, then it was like, oh, we know what it takes now. We felt that, we just need to recreate it. And we really saw this team just propel forward when we mixed, okay, all of our preparation and smart play and everything and the way we execute stuff with that, okay, I'm just gonna also not let you beat me.
How? If you don't mind sharing, do you get the beast, the animal, out of the players? I'm asking as a parent. I'm asking
asking for a friend.
Yeah, asking for a friend. Where you're like, yeah, I love the skill and it's great, but like, give me something else. Give me this.
Right.
How do you get it out of them?
I don't know if there's a right answer to that. And I think the beauty of this profession and this world is it's going to be different year in and year out, depending on the group you have. But for us, we reminded them constantly of that, and not in a way of it's like, you've seen, you know, coaches or parents or whatever be like, you have to want it as badly as I do. It doesn't work. It's not, that just creates a divide. For us, it's like, okay, how do we instill that confidence and motivate you every day to be like, you can be great. You just have to do this and you have to show up like this. And every day, you know, in order to be a leader, everyone is watching your every move, like just constantly reminding them about it. And then I also, again, like, I don't know how we did it and how I did it, but the way to motivate is such an underrated piece of this puzzle, I think, in terms of if you're a captain, a coach, you know, a fan or a parent, whatever your role is, just the ability to look someone in the eye and know exactly what they need to light that fire. And then also the fact that, okay, we're in a huddle with, again, 28 different personalities, 28 people who are going to respond differently to everything, and how you can tap into each of them to get that beast out of them. Yeah. I don't know, you know, I don't know the formula. I don't have the equation. If I did, I probably would sell it because I think it would sell pretty great.
Well, there's probably, to your point, not one answer, right? It's very different. Every player is motivated in a different way, that you have to also understand that. Wow.
Right. And I think just this year's group, like, they were, it also isn't always just one thing too. Like, we, you know, they were motivated by losses and not in a term of like, oh, this is crap, you know, I hate this feeling, whatever. They were motivated in the terms of, we want to get better. And then it was, okay, we have 1700 people, you know, in front of us. that's awesome. But for the national championship game, it was 3,200 people, which isn't heard of in field hockey. And they were just motivated by the like big moment of the game itself, you know? So whatever it is, it's just, they rose to the occasion. But I do think a lot of it stemmed from just the confidence we instilled in them, how much we prepared, because then they have that to fall back on, but just the trust and the transparency with, look, we're only going to do this if we do it together. And if you lean on us and we lean on you and give you that respect and trust.
Mm. What are you finding motivates you as a coach?
Oh gosh. Well, the simple answer is winning. I will never be, I will never be sick of it. I don't want it to ever change. I don't think that,
great don't answer.
Or like what?
Hashtag, you know, winning.
Great. Like it's not that deep. I just want to win. No. I think, you know, at the core of myself, for me, and it goes back to just that learning and growing mindset. We've done this. We did it once this season. Great. I did it as a player. Great. But, you know, I want to keep improving for them. I think what you find at Carolina that's different than other schools, you know, our job is to serve our student athletes, and the students have the same mindset of my job is to just make the player next to me better. And that all amplifies. So for me, that motivates me because I know I can be better for them. It's not, I need another title. I need another, you know, record-breaking season. I really don't. It's just, I want them to feel that. I need to be the best version of myself so that they can be successful. And I think you'd get a pretty similar answer if you asked any of them, because they really view, and I think we remind them of it, but you come here because of that. They really view each season as a community, as a family, as what am I doing to make the product that we're all chasing even better because we're doing it together. So,
case in point, which blew my mind, is like, talk about being committed. You gave up the potential to go to the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
To coach, because you're on the U.S. national team, a stud on the national team, of course. Three-time national player of the year collegiately, so a star on the national team, and you decided, I'm not going to do it. Why?
That was one of the hardest decisions. And I think that was, you know, if you asked Bubba, he'd probably say the same thing, because they didn't, you know, that was brought up multiple times in my hiring process of, look, we don't want you to have to feel like you have to pick and choose. And we don't want you to ever regret, you know, ending your career early and stuff. And every single time I was asked that, it never really made sense to me, because I was like, I get that, but I've had that conversation with myself. Like, my heart just told me what was right. And it's similar in recruiting, you know, you find your home, you find what you're meant to be. It's similar in a partner, you know, hopefully, you know, you hope everyone experiences where you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be with. Same thing here in this profession. I just knew this was where I was supposed to be. And I didn't want, either if I tried to continue playing and coach and do it jointly, I didn't want my play to suffer. That's not fair to my play. My team then, I can't put all of my energy into that.
Right.
And I know if I tried to do that, I also wouldn't be putting all of my energy into Carolina. So I'd be doing both a disservice. And, you know, I couldn't turn it down. Like, how it doesn't just happen every once in a while. You know, it was different. And I just listened to my heart.
Oh, you're an old soul.
I know I am. I've learned that about myself too. I like my PJs and like book and like throwing my phone into a river at night. I know.
Oh, it's weird. I'm with you. This season, I had this aha moment that some of my favorite conversations have been with coaches. And I think the reason why is because there's often so much thoughtfulness that goes into your job, what you're doing, that in order for you to be there for your players, you recognize that you yourself have to do self-growth. And I love hearing, it's so cool to hear you talk about how you want to keep learning and growing. So I do wonder, when it comes to thoughtfulness, I am so curious what that first team meeting was like and what you said to the team in that meeting.
Yeah. So the first team meeting, I'm very open. I'm very transparent. I joke, we have glass doors and everything throughout this building for a reason. Like, an open door policy is my job to create that security, stability, consistency. It's how I was as a player, as a captain. And that's the same. What you see is what you get. I don't play mind games. So the minute it was time to apply and coach announced her retirement and everything, I went to, I had the team in each like separate groups, not that we are clicky at all, but you get everybody's true, I wanted everybody's true reactions and responses to when I was going to tell them, hey, I'm going to apply to be your coach next year. So I, you know, sat down certain groups and told them that, and I was lucky. I had their support from the start. So it wasn't like a total shock for them when I walked in that room because they knew I was in the application process. They knew I was one of the finalists. They just,
smart.
I didn't want it to be a shock. So, and I didn't want them hearing like rumors through the grapevine and it just getting out of hand. So it came from me. And I think when I was introduced by Bubba and our sport administrator, Mr. Larry Gallo, it was never like jaw drop shock. It was just like, okay, what we thought might happen is actually happening now. And I sat down with them. I gave my little spiel and everything. And my main things were transparency, communication, and respect. We're going to have to respect the boundaries we know are already there. And we're going to have to figure out our new boundaries because this is different. This is unique. We've never done this before, but I'm the coach now. And yes, I used to go on Franklin Street with you and I used to live with you and everything, but like that respect, and I will respect them too, you know,
no more four corners together.
Exactly. And many other places. And then communication, they knew how I was as a player. They knew my standards. They know, you know, I stand for, you can never over communicate. This is only going to work if we communicate about everything. And with that came the transparency. Female athletes in general, you know, I've learned and I appreciate the fact that we like to understand the purpose behind things. So you can go tell a guy to go run 5 miles and he'll do it. And there's nothing against that. I wish I could do that. But I would sit there and be like, why the hell are you making me run 5 miles? And the minute you say, this is how it's going to help you, this is why I'm doing it, okay, I'll buy into it. Great. I'll go run 5 miles. So, you know, all of the things I could have given them the information to help them not have questions, not play mind games. And some things they don't need to worry about. And they know that. And that's just, hey, that's my decision. Just trust me. But the more transparent I could be with those decisions so that they build the confidence and trust in me, the better. And then also a big part of it was the transparency. And I don't know everything, guys. Like, I am young. This is new. This is my first time doing this too. But I promise you, if I don't know something, if I don't know the way to help you or the answer, I will get it done and I will find it out and I will lean on the people who know. So I think just with that, it was, okay, Erin knows what she's doing. Like, we've trusted her for years on the field, you know, like let's do it. And I had their total buy-in from the start. And that girl, I knew exactly who was going to ask it. I knew the question was going to be asked. First one puts her hand up. I'm like, yes. She goes, so do we call you Erin or coach? And the whole room just erupts into laughter. I'm like, thank you. I think that is what we needed. And it was great. And then ever since that point, you know, we've learned together. We've had hard conversations. We've had a lot of fun. We've grown. And, you know, now it's nice to be able to be bonded by all of that.
Do they call you Erin or do they call you coach?
So I said, you call me Erin, you know, Jenny's still Jenny. Anson is still Anson.
Okay, good.
I said, if nature takes care of that, then so be it. But I'm not going to like, that's just weird. If I'm like, call me coach now.
Call me coach.
But, yeah. Like, no, that's just going to make things weirder. But it's funny now because it'll like slip out every now and again by coach. And they'll be like, oh, that was me. I'll like laugh about it. I'm like, yeah, don't fight it. But like,
what did Karen say to you when you got the job?
I mentioned it earlier. I owe everything to her. There's not a better mentor to learn from, but also just, we have built a crazy relationship over the years from me dreaming of playing for her, from me being recruited by her, to then me actually playing for her, to now me learning from her forever. And, you know, the minute this all kind of became a thing and a possibility, my first thought was, I just can't believe Coach and Bubba and these really important people would have trust in me to even entertain this, you know, and to have belief in me. So I could not have done this without her. She is on speed dial. We grab breakfast, lunch, dinner. Like, she is at every game. She has struck the balance so beautifully of being there and helping me.
Yeah.
With also understanding that it's, you know, it's a different era now. It's yeah. mine, but it will always be a piece of her. And I think, you know, she's just wonderful in every sense.
I was thinking of Ted Lasso, Biscuits with the Boss, that you have the opportunity to do that with a lot of incredible coaches at NC who have long legacies. Obviously, Jenny Levy, Anson Dorrance, even Roy Williams. It's such a unique environment where coaches, Jenny, if I have this right, was hired young as well. Do you find yourself knocking on the doors, or are those intentional meetings, or is it more every once in a while do you have just a cross paths and you get a chance to talk shop?
No, definitely. You'll actually like this story too. So after I talked with Bubba about, hey, I want this job, I knew I couldn't just sit there and not do anything and it was just going to appear. And I knew I had a lot to learn, and no other coach knew that this was going on here at Carolina. But I reached out to Mac Brown, the football coach here. And I said, hey, Mac, like, I know you're busy, whatever. Do you just want to sit down sometime and let me ask you about your career, the way you've balanced family with it, you know, your journeys, what you've learned. And so I went over there. He's phenomenal. Also another person I've leaned on. Went over there. I ended up spending like 2.5 hours in his office. His office is dope, by the way. He's got really cool stuff going on in there. But I'm over there and I could have sat there for the rest of the day. And in comes Bubba unexpectedly. And he looks at me like I had 5 heads. And I'm like, oh God. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, Bubba's not supposed to, like, I'm supposed to be playing in my season and focusing on my season, which I've learned I'm good at compartmentalizing. But I look at him and I'm like, he's not supposed to know I'm here doing this. But he's sitting there like, oh my God, she's actually serious about this. And like, actually wants to like be a coach. Like, what's going on? So we just had this like, oh, hey, like, sorry. And he like, sorry to interrupt. Sorry. And I was like, oh, I don't really like, and we joke about it now. Cause he's like, that's when I knew you weren't kidding. And I'm sitting
here,
yeah, I have, like you said, like I am blessed with the ability to text Mac Brown and be like, let's grab coffee, or go over to Jenny's office. And I did that in the summer, you know, sit with Anson Dorrance and talk through, you know, something that happened this season. How did you navigate something like this? Meanwhile, still being able to call up Karen Shelton. And then, yeah, Roy Williams leaves me a voicemail and I see him in a basketball game. Like, it's just absurd. It's crazy what the Carolina coaches family provides, and just the people. And that's also, that was part of my argument in being hired. Like, look, Jenny was hired at I think 24 or something. Anson, same thing. Karen Shelton at 23. Like, you know, it's not like it hasn't been done before. And sure, it's different time, but the ability to have been able to lean on those guys has been a lot.
So are we running it back in 2024 or what?
Obviously. What do you mean? This is the bar now. I like did this to myself. So I guess.
That was the end of the year meetings. Run it back.
I am beyond excited for a bit of competition right now. Aaron, you were about to go head to head with Julie in a game of trivia. The most important component of the game, as Julie has just displayed, is the noisemaker for how you are going to chime in with your answer. Jules gave us a preview. She's bringing back the Billie Jean King tennis ball. Aaron, what do you have for your noisemaker?
I just have some Carolina soccer clappers. So
very nice. Very on brand.
Yeah, it's like the blow-up ones, and when you bang them together, you get the noise. The theme of this game is grab bag, which means the questions can be about anything. There will be five questions. Best of five wins. They are all multiple choice. Question one. What is celebrated on February 2nd and is also the title? Aaron.
Groundhog Day.
Correct.
Damn. Damn, I'm in trouble.
All right. I'm not going to get complacent, though. Let's go.
I am done. I was like,
I didn't even finish the question.
Okay, I'm locked in.
Fine. I have the question sent to me before, actually, just so you know. So I know that. No, I'm kidding.
Question two. What is the most consumed drink in the world? Is it A, tea, B, coffee, or C, water? Julie.
I just had to get in. I had to get in once. Water, C.
Correct.
Yes! 1-1, baby!
All right.
I almost said T because I thought this one might be kind of catchy.
Question 3. How many eyes does a bee have? Is it A, 5, B, 7, or C, 10?
Oh, God.
Do guesses count? Do you have to... Do I lose a point if I guess?
Do not lose a point.
What if I don't know it?
You can wait until Julie goes, and then if she misses, you get 50-50.
Oh.
But if she gets it, she gets a point. That's the strategy.
Oh, I'm hesitant.
Five. Julie.
5.
Correct.
2-1. 2-1.
Question 4. What is the highest grossing Broadway show of all time? Is it A, Cats, B, The Lion King, or C, Hamilton?
Oh. I'm going for the kill.
Julie.
Hamilton.
Incorrect.
Going with my gut and saying Cats.
Incorrect.
No! Still alive. I'm still alive.
Lion King, really?
So this is what we can do. We can either do 5 questions where it could lead to a tiebreaker, or we could do this question worth 3 points.
Oh, worth 3 points.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm good. Let's go.
Okay, so we're gonna move to this question is worth 3 points. Question 5. What element does the chemical symbol AU stand for?
Oh, God.
Erin.
See?
Aluminum.
Incorrect.
No! I was too eager.
Julie, your options are A, gold, B, silver, or C, bronze. I think you win, but go ahead.
A, gold.
Correct.
No!
I would like the record to show that Julie has exactly 0 national championships to her name at Stanford. That would be a donut.
She won the grab bag.
Won tonight.
Oh, yeah. God. I was going to say, I graduated in biology. If I hadn't gotten an AU.
Oh, that's oof. Wow.
Even though it was 500 years ago. Oof. Erin, yes. Most pressing questions.
Okay. Well, I'm still recovering over here. You just were able to move on from that. Like, this isn't easy for me.
Do you have any superstitions?
Okay, this is another fun story, actually. So, not really, but I am superstitious. Like, I don't have one that I will always go to, but like halfway through the season, I wore the same socks the rest of the season, you know? And then like, I have to sit in a certain chair before I go out to the field, but like, not like, yes, I'm a little cuckoo, but not in a way of like, this is my superstition. This is what we're doing. Two stories actually come to mind. So Peyton Worth, who was a 5th-year senior on the team this year. She, one of my roommates, one of my best friends, her and I would always be the last out of the locker room before a game, and we would split, like, you know, the like extra gum, like the long
pieces.
We would always split one because I never liked a full one. She never liked a full one. So we would split it before every game. And then the first game this season, she came out and I was thinking, because I just think overthink everything. And I'm walking out and I'm like, oh my God, I don't have anyone to split gum with anymore, whatever. And I just go out there and she walks over to me with literally like a ripped, like half piece of gum.
Aww.
And it just warmed my heart. And we did it every game since until the last one. So that was like one of our little superstitions.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that happened this season was there was one trip we were up in. It was at the beginning of the season. And this is when we were still like figuring out starting lineups and rotations and who we want on the field with each other and stuff. And we were sitting down as a staff one night before having our pregame talk the next morning, getting the pregame presentation ready. And we throw the lineup on with their headshots and stuff. And we were between these two girls who deserved to start. And for me, like with the program, even under Coach Shelton, it was, you earn your playing time. It's never guaranteed. We don't promise that. And for me, again, like I just want to win and the whole team just wants to win. So if you show up and are playing great and are doing what we expect and have a great attitude and whatever, and are improving, you will be rewarded. And for these guys, it was like, you're both playing great. Let's look at the rotations. It doesn't really matter. Who do we want starting? And I said, just let me sleep on it. I'll have like a eureka moment. Like God will tell me what to do or something. And we'll just go with that. And I'm walking up to my upstairs. I go to the elevator. I go to get on the elevator and I look on the floor and I see a tails up dime. And I'm like, okay, well, it's not like a heads up penny or something lucky, but like, that's weird. I just said like something yeah. will tell me what to do. And I don't like, I'm not like a guru. I don't believe in all this stuff, but I believe things happen for a reason. So I get on the elevator, the door's shut. And I'm like, I got to look up what that means. So I open the elevator doors. I get off the elevator. I'm standing there in the lobby like a psycho next to this head tails up dime. Like, what does this mean? Googling it. And I Googled it. And you know how these things, they have like 20 different meanings and you just read the one you want to do. But at least that's what I, but the first thing that that comes up on Google is, it's a sign to trust your intuition and trust your gut and that everything is happening. I know. So I kept that dime. I went up, I picked it up and it's been in my wallet ever since. And it's still there. So then that like it fell out one time at the airport when we were getting our cards out for baggage stuff. And I like ran across the airport to get my dime. Crazy. Like what's wrong? Hey, it worked.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. Now my most pressing, it's amazing you brought up socks because I wrote in the national championship game, were you wearing socks with 23 on them in homage of Michael Jordan?
I was. Well, and so actually Jana Withrow, she's an alum from Carolina Field Hockey, obviously. And she, like, I love the whole outfit fashion, not like a Kim Mulkey vibe at all. Like, but I like to look good and like represent Carolina, but I like the fact that recruits pay attention to our shoes and our colors and our, you know, what we're wearing. And I want to look cooler than every other staff on the sideline. all of these details add up. So, and one of our alums like know that I love it. And a couple of our alums are completely obsessed with Carolina stuff too. And so she sends me a text one night, like, you need these socks. And they're Carolina blue with 23 on them. I was like, of course, yeah, I need them. I bought them for my mom, my dad, my boyfriend, my brother. Like, yeah. But I ended up wearing them. And yeah, they had 23 on them, which obviously, like, nothing to do with field hockey. But you can't come to Carolina and not understand what that means and get it a little bit. So it was cool.
Oh, your national championship fit was, I don't know what the kids say, but I'm just going to say it was on point.
The fit.
Yeah. Well, it's good. And
it was bussing.
There you go.
You had some sharp slacks.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah. We like to be cozy and professional, but look good.
So. Cozy and professional. That is my theory. I am all for that.
Yep.
No high heels. God. No. No Kim Mulkey outfits. God. No. Okay. High, low, cheer. The high of your career, the low of your career, and the cheer is for someone that you're grateful for along the way, Erin.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of the low because I really struggle with those kind of things because even if they're low, we learned from them.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the low this season, I'm going to start with the low and end with the positive if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Low this season would have been our regular season loss to UVA. We played a great three quarters of hockey and we literally had a mental lapse for a quarter and we were up 2-0. They ended up coming back and scoring three goals. And it was at a point in the season where it was like, we can do this. Like we like have that confidence. And then to get that like kind of slap in the face, it was not great. But the fact one that I'm sitting here saying that was the low makes me realize how amazing this season was because that was nothing. And I think it also, again, I struggle with those, like what went poorly or what was low and whatever, because I really believe everything happens for a reason and it's all about our response. So like same with the team, sure. They didn't respond poorly. It's not like the sky was falling. It's like, it helped us and we get that. So
yeah,
kind of, I don't know, loophole answer anyway. High of the season would be that moment where the team was celebrating the national championship. And I got a taste of it with the ACC championship. And I knew what that feeling was, being on the field, doing the work, being in between the lines and holding the trophy yourself. But there is just something unbelievably phenomenal about being a coach and investing so much time and passion and energy and caring about these guys so much, to then see them finally be so happy and celebrating and tears of joy and happiness. And like, I will never be able to put it into words, but being able to like be on the outside of it, watching them celebrate was incredible. So and then that kind of leads me into my cheer, I guess. Obviously, Coach Shelton, I could not have done it without her. I lean on her for everything, and she is the one who has made all of this possible. So it would be between her and the team this year, because the team doesn't get talked about enough. The staff does not get talked about enough. The story is what we used as a program, and we were all bought into it to use as leverage for our sport and our program, and everything in the team knew that. But I could have showed up on day one and been like, let's go, let's get this. And everyone could have laughed in my face and been like, no, this is never going to work, you know, but they bought in, they showed up every day wanting to get better. They took those lows and responded to them and grew from them, and just really created this really unique bond. So yeah, they are the most underrated part of all of it, and they deserve the praise and the credit and everything, because it couldn't have happened without them. So cheers to them.
Wow. You are 23 years old, really?
Can we see some ID? I'm sure you've gotten that joke a few times.
Like, I'm weird, and like, I got that 23 side of me, but I know when to, you know.
Oh my God, Erin, you are so impressive already, sister. So thrilled for you.
Thank you. No, this is great. I love any excuse to brag about this place and talk about the team. So this has been fun, minus the trauma that you just caused me.
Top of my bio, I beat Erin. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I'm going to come by the offices. I'll be chanting it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Down the halls. Five national championships, 4 as a player, 1 as a coach at 23, and... Well, I'll save it for the takeaways, but that I just was like, holy cow.
Roll right into your takeaway.
I loved her perspective, because this is literally something I was driving today in the car, and I was like, I've got to have this conversation again with my kids. I have it every week, I know. And I'm like, lesson 734 coming at you. But I love when she talked about it. It's not what happens to you, it's how you react to it. Having that conversation a lot with my kids right now in this parenting role. And I just think it's everything. It's all about the response, and that a low can actually be your high. And for her to have that perspective at such a young age is so impressive. I also loved that when she was talking about when her first meeting with the team, admitting like, I'm not going to get it all right. And I'm learning too, right? Mm-hmm. So that I'll just like, let's all have grace and respect and transparency for all of this, and showing like that you're vulnerable and that I don't know everything, but I'll try my best to learn. And then of course, like going in early, as we talked about in the episode, to be like, hey, I just want to plant this seed right now, mm-hmm. that I want to be considered. I mean, that's something. Again, I just was not in that space coming out of college. It's just very impressive.
For sure. My takeaway is how Erin said, go for it. And mm-hmm. it's going to be work. I think that's such a consistent theme we see throughout the podcast. I actually have a post-it that I have on my kitchen cupboard that says, be bold, one life, one chance. And I do believe Erin Mattson is doing just that.
Really good. Questions permitted, Lynn.
Well, this is my question to you. Are you ready to have your mind blown?
Always.
This is going to be a new segment called Answers Permitted. In the season 8 finale, that was a year ago, I posed the question, does a straw have one hole or two? I got that question from South Carolina's basketball's social media. We revisited the question in the Aaliyah Boston episode. Well, Jules, a listener emailed in with a definitive answer. Here we go. Hi, Julie and Lynn. I cannot remember if someone has sent a mathematical answer to the straw question or not. There is a field of math called topology that can answer this question. topology generally looks at the way shapes and structures can be put together. One of the fun parts of topology is answering questions like how many holes a straw has. A straw has one hole. This makes a straw topologically equivalent to a donut that has one hole. Or a standard coffee mug with a handle. This would make a straw not equivalent to a fried cinnamon roll, assuming the cinnamon roll does not have a hole in the middle. The standard math joke for topology is about the coffee mug and donut being the same. I have attached a picture that shows this equivalence. You can Google it. I'm like mind-blowing stuff here. I really enjoy listening to the podcast and the phenomenal guests. It has helped me get through grad school and now start my career as a math professor. I hope y'all have an incredible day. Sarah Allred, Assistant Professor, Department of Mathematics and Statistics, South Alabama. How about that?
Whoa. She just pulled our entire podcast, season to season, debate to debate, together in one email.
The fact that there was a correlation between that question and a donut.
That's what I mean.
I can't even.
It pulls all of it together. And like a coffee mug, all three things I love in my life. Oh, well, I can't say I love straws, but donuts, cinnamon rolls, and coffee.
So Sarah, I can't thank you enough for this email. I've been saving it all season long. And yeah, we might now have a new segment called Answers Permitted because our dope village is smart.
They're a lot smarter than us.
This is true.
For sure. Dope Village, season 10, if you can believe it, is almost over, but not yet. It has flown by the way. We are back next week for our season finale with the Dr. Colleen Hacker, or Flash, as I call her. This will be, I don't know, Lynn, Dr. Hacker's like 857th appearance on Laughter Permitted.
Give or take.
So, be sure to check out her previous 857 episodes to get all hyped for what we've got coming. And as always, a thank you to our sponsors, Ally and Dick's Sporting Goods, for their continued support. Please support them as well. And to Kate Diaz for our theme music, which she wrote and composed. And as always, kids, remember, sing it with us.
Laughter permitted.
We like to be cozy and professional, but look good.